Well, good morning, everybody. Every day we should try to record the podcast just a little bit earlier, closer to midnight. It's always fun how early we can record, or late, because you know that I haven't slept. It's 1:42 a.m. Saturday, March 24th? That sounds about right. Yep, I think that's right. It's March 24th? Yeah, that's what my screen says. All right. Enough of that. It's a Ken Braverman podcast. What's going on, everybody? Guess what we're going to talk about today? Get your lube ready, because we're talking about porn. What? It's a podcast. Yeah, I know. All right. There's so much porn in the news, and also a serendipitous coincidence. I think I used that term right. That will launch a porn story. So let's go. All right. P-O-R-N. What does it mean? Is it something we shouldn't be looking at? I always wondered how, like, the search engines really handle the porn. Like, Google understands what the porn sites are. It's like they've, like, kind of automatically throw them in their own weird kind of incognito way. Like, when you search, you do get porn sites, but I don't know. Anyway, that wasn't what this podcast was really going to be about. Here's the porn talk we're going to have. I'm going to start with a very volatile Facebook post I made today and how it ties into porn. I made a post about Fox News. I started it with a hashtag. I'm so gay. I started it with a hashtag. I called it Firefox. And just Firefox just came to my mind because I just wanted to fire the people at Fox. Like, if I was in control and I owned that network, I would fire them for just being terrible, terrible people. Just awful. And Jeanine Pirro is the one I called out by name because she's the one who's, in the strongest language I've seen, trying to threaten the FBI, which is just, it's just how far we have come. Boy, have goalposts just been moved. Goalposts have personified themselves and started walking across the football field and moved to such a point where someone on a network that's supposed to be about news is threatening to pull out FBI agents in cuffs because she's defending Russian government propaganda and their influence in our White House. Like, that's actually the reason. It's amazing. And so I called for her arrest because it just seems like she should be arrested for doing that, doesn't it? And so I was like trying to think of laws that she's breaking that make the most sense because, you know, we do have free speech in this country. And my cousin pointed it out, distant cousin. I don't know. There's some removal in there, but we're related. And he's like, yo, he's like, can I agree with you on Trump? But, you know, you can't just be calling people to get locked up because they're using colorful language on the air. And he's right, except that what she's doing is actually an affront to the United States of America, and it is part of a conspiracy against the United States because you're attacking law enforcement, and it's this weird, unique situation where the law enforcement that is being attacked by Jeanine Pirro here is one of the only bastions of law enforcement left to be a check on the president, even though it's part of the executive branch. And it's not only the president, because when the president is being bought off by a foreign government, it's also that the entire gravitas behind that foreign government and its power, which is essentially Vladimir Putin, that you're fighting. So to argue against American law enforcement for the Russian government is not just propaganda, it's a part of a conspiracy, and it is illegal. That is definitely illegal, if proven. So I called for her arrest because we need to prove that, or at least attempt to. And anyway, that post on Facebook, I rarely make extensive text posts, but I was so annoyed and I couldn't talk because I was listening to an extremely loud television and a 94-year-old next to me, so I couldn't talk into my phone and I had to write it out. And there you go. That's what happened. Now, there are positive benefits of this. 100-something comments in a three-hour period in a political thread ended up getting somebody I hadn't talked to in like 20 years from high school, a buddy of mine who, okay, and this is where it ties in together. He posted, like, kind of defending me a little bit against one of our other friends from high school. And And it made me think, oh my God, I haven't heard from him in so long. And I had talked to a different friend just recently about wanting to record a podcast about the first time that one was exposed to some type of pornographic material and what that story is. Because, I don't know, while my story isn't super interesting, it's memorable, and I bet people have memorable stories. I've heard memorable porn stories in the past. So I was telling that other friend of mine, yeah, I once saw a Playboy at this guy's, at Dan's house growing up. I think it was his dad's Playboy, and we pulled it out of the newspaper rack, and I just remember being astonished. Being astonished and also being slightly aroused. Now, that's weird, but it was like 10. It was like 10 years old, I think. Probably around that, 10, 11. Could not. It was walking distance from my house that I moved out of at age 13. So it was. I couldn't have been any older than 11 or 12. Anyway, the point is, I don't know why that came to mind. It's always interesting to think about your first exposure to, because you don't know what to expect, and you don't know what you're going to feel, and it's just odd, especially when it's brought to your attention by someone else who's also of a young age and doesn't totally know what to make of it. And I'm sure that people's stories are different along the way. Now, why does porn have anything to do with anything? That's just an anecdote. It just so happens that one of the four people that commented in that thread happens to be that guy who I hadn't talked to in 20 years. And I'll tell you why it ties into something else. Is I just realized, with all the insanity going on in D.C., God, I'm heading to D.C. right now. I don't want to be, but I'm going there. I'm on my way. I'm still in Florida, but I am on the road again, and I'll be there within the next 24 hours, because that's how this works. And when I get there, there's so much going on. But one thing that's really on our president's mind is it's the storm. It's the storm me. It's the storm me too movement. It's all of his sex life all over the news all the time. Because even though there's so many more important things to be talking about and dealing with, like espionage from foreign nations, like potentials for war, like Bolton, oh God. Like the guy with the whore with the mustache that has just been appointed national security advisor. All these things that are serious that we need to talk about. There's going to be a huge, let's call it the anti-AR-15 rally in D.C. because we got to ban AR-15s. That's always the second thing we got to talk about on this podcast every time I record. Okay, we just got to do it. Huge rally. I'm not going to that rally, but I'll hear about it. All these important things are happening, yet what our president is concerned with and what he is like a rabid dog anti-salivating about is that you got McDougal, boom, sex, relationship, out. Stormy Daniels, boom, 60 minutes interview, coming Sunday night. We all need to be scared this week because we don't know what our crazy president's going to do, because here's what Trump hates. He hates it when people hide things from him, and he does not know what Stormy Daniels is going to say. He can only assume, and it drives him nuts. Because he knows she's getting out of this. Here's the deal. You can't just pay people to not talk about reality, because eventually reality and the truth is going to come out. It's the reckoning of truth. The reckoning of truth is upon us. And we can't escape from our demons anymore. And that makes for a new world. And unfortunately for Don T and Don T Jr. and all of them, is that because they're in the limelight, because they've taken this political stage, all the forces of monitoring that are out there can be used for or against them. And that goes for all of us. The more we use our phones, the more we use social media, the more we use our ISPs, the more we use all the methods of communication that are available to us and we like to manipulate with ease. The more we do that, the more of our life becomes recorded, becomes an asset or a liability. It becomes weaponized if somebody wants to weaponize it. And we haven't truly adopted how to handle that. Our legal framework is doing a pretty good job of harnessing the data, but are we doing a good job of weighting the data? For example, I've done a podcast about this in the past, but we've all had text messages or communications in the past that we would not like to put on our tombstone, right? We don't want to be remembered by the most emotionally unhinged tweet or text or post or whatever that we did at some point when we weren't feeling so hot. We don't want that to be what those remember us by. Right? It's kind of a right to be forgotten, that law that they passed in Europe about if something happened and it's been a long time and you want it removed and you kind of have some right to want it removed, then you should be able to get it removed. And in the spirit of the law, I kind of like that. But even though that's a band-aid on the problem, I think the real answer is actually that we evolved not to slut shame. And I think that kind of, in a way, we have. And what I mean by we evolved not to slut shame, and it kind of ties into porn quite nicely, is that we all F up royally a lot, sometimes more than others. And some things are forgivable and some aren't. And we're just going to have to deal with that. And the threshold to what's forgivable has been raised and will continue to be raised. And the goalpost will continue to be moved. Because we're all sluts in a way. And if we're going to shame everyone, then we have to look at this glass mirror China house or whatever the hell analogy is. We need to look at ourselves too and say, I'm not perfect. And nobody should be. Now, but there's a... I don't want to make like a straw man argument here, because there are people that do things that are wrong. There are, I don't like a false equivalency, I should say. There are people that do things that are horribly, terribly wrong. And it's not that they should be slut-shamed for them. It's that they need to be held accountable. Accountable. What's the law? What's the law we want to enforce? I had another friend who was really frustrated with a lot of the nonsensical laws that exist. And in many ways, he's right. There's a ton of laws on the books that we don't think about every day, but that we probably violate. But because they're not enforced all the time, we don't necessarily feel like we've lost our empowerment as citizens or lost our rights because they're not being enforced. Yet if they were enforced, we would all be living in a perpetual prison. Like, I read some law that in one of these states, it's illegal to decry the belief in God or something, to like say that you don't believe in a God or something like that. That it's illegal in Vermont, a place I love. Like, what? It's insane. Now, how does that happen? Well, you know who made laws? People made laws. And we have judges interpreting them because that law can fluctuate and change. And I went on a tangent about laws and everything because sort of because of slut shaming, the difference between slut shaming and real laws that need to be broken, like real hookers, I should say, and slut shaming. And I bring up slut shaming because I had this conversation with someone else a few weeks ago, and it's a really interesting conversation, which is, I think slut shaming has in many ways gone away. Because I remember when I was growing up, that if something happened in high school, the quiet talk back and forth and the rumors and everything that got spread, that was a huge deal. And certain people, like the whole Richard Gere and the gerbil thing, right? Nobody knows if that ever happened. If somebody found a gerbil and that Richard Gere was admitted to the hospital and someone, and a gerbil crawled out of his ass. That's the story. I'm sure it's probably not true. Yet, that was the equivalent of the rumor spread, right? Now, if there was a rumor that got spread now about Richard Gere, I think that the hospital would issue a statement saying, we cannot comment on Richard Gere, but we can tell you that we didn't pull a gerbil out of his ass because he asked us to release that information and we're allowed to do that. I think that the rumor would have been killed immediately. And how does that relate to slut shaming? Well, here's how it relates. We don't do that anymore. Like, there aren't those kind of rumors anymore about people because nobody cares anymore because everyone's got like a sex tape on Instagram now. And there's too much porn. There's too much of it. So we realize that everybody does it, and all of a sudden, it doesn't have the same impact that it used to of being an ultimate, you know, an ultimate exhibition of taboo that we are amazed and astonished to glare at in the rearview mirror and rubberneck at. It's not like that anymore because there's rubbers everywhere. So we're not rubbernecking as much, right? Now, let's get on to the A block story, really, which is our president's going crazy because of porn, because the American public, me included, all of us, cannot turn away. His base cannot turn away. I mean, the president was nailing a porn star when his wife was breastfeeding. I don't know if Melania breastfed. That's the only part of the story that I can't verify, right? How can we not turn our head at that? You can yell Hillary Clinton at the top of your lungs all you want, but if Hillary Clinton was banging a porn star, nobody would want to look at that. But we like looking at McDougal, we like looking at Stormy's jugs, and we can't stop looking at that. And Trump understands that, and it's all probably true too. That's the sad thing. And it's just like, on top of everything else, we have Stormy's tits to look at all night on Sunday, and there's no football. I would imagine, I have heard that the Patriots and the Falcons are going to replay the two Super Bowls ago just to lead into this Stormy thing because it's so big. It's so huge. Like, she's going to break NDA on screen, I'm imagining, because how can you not? And the truth is, you should break your NDA. No matter, I will fault Stormy for this. You should not accept any amount of money ever to be quiet about the truth in your past. You are a whore in that sense. And that's not okay. Now, also, you took money to have sex, so you're like I mean, one could call that whoredom. I mean, I'm sure there's a definition of whore in the Webster somewhere that talks about taking money for sexual whatever. Whether you do it for a movie and whether it's legal or not doesn't change the definition of the word. Now, I won't slut shame you for being a whore. And if you're going to do it, break that NDA, baby. Break it and deal with his lawsuit in court. I'm tired of worrying about how these criminals are going to squirm. I'm not worried about it. Let them squirm. Let them fight. Let them get the legal team they want. Let them try to get charges thrown out. Let them do whatever they want to try to do. The truth will persist. And even if you lose some cases because of this, trying to create a good, like, I'm imagining like a dog shaking the water off of him. That's what Trump is trying to do to everything. It's like, don't get near me. I'm just going to spray you with dirty dog water. I'm one of those dogs with a huge, like, sloppy mouth that just flows back and forth. And I'm going to shit out. Here's a wad of spit bolting at you. Here is, here's more, another transgender ban. I believe he tried to pass tonight or something. Here is a tariff. I'm just going to spit at you, right? A tariff coming out of my dirty dog ass. That's what he's doing because it's instructions from Putin, and Putin's smart on how do you destroy global bonds together. You try to break the economic bonds and you try to break the political bonds, and that's what you do. And you try to create wars. That's why you're trying to get Bolton in there. Now, I don't think we're going to listen to Bolton. Bolton's under investigation, I believe, due to his, I mean, I heard some stuff on Rachel Maddow today that's just unbelievable. Rachel Maddow, we're at 18 minutes, but we can talk about Rachel for a minute. Rachel breaks news. I mean, we don't have to talk about porn. I'll tell you what's better than porn is Rachel Maddow. The woman breaks news like a sixth grader with a sledgehammer at Pier 1, just bashing vases and beautiful sculpted lamps for the hell of it. She breaks news, ka-ching, everywhere. It's unbelievable what she's breaking, and it's always true. She is on her game. And she announced that she appropriately led her show tonight with the fact that somebody put new Russian sanctions into the spending bill. Nobody will take credit for it. The president signed it because you know he didn't read the bill. And now it's law. And holy shit, that is utterly amazing. I gotta hear what that's all about. It's like an implicit message to Vladimir Putin saying that you may control Trump, but Trump does not control the lawmaking in our country. It is just phenomenal. And I gotta hear more. I'm so pumped to drive a car for like 20 hours because there's an amazing amount of news breaking every second. And I can't wait to hear it. So, I mean, really, I should scrap Rachel Maddow's shows, which is do a summary of her shows and everything she does every night, because it's amazing. And I respect her crew and how she manages to filter only the most important news to the top of the hour, and she can freeform on it because she's so in tune to how the situation is playing out that she knows where to look. And I don't know how she knows where to look. I don't know how she gets all this. I really don't. I guess people must come to her because they respect her and they know that she's on the level. It's amazing stuff. I highly recommend it. She broke like four stories tonight. Like, I can't even remember all of them. There's the Bolton stuff with the Mercer group. Mercer is another one we got to start talking about. Mercer. If you can think of an evil billionaire, it's Mercer. If what the right tries to vilify George Soros, Mercer is what that actually is on the other side. Mercer is a real bad dude. Or Rebecca Mercer, real bad woman. They're awful people. And they'll do anything for power, and there's something wrong with them. And their money, however that was gained, whatever they're doing with it, is a serious problem. So the good, healthy billionaires of the world need to fight the evil billionaires of the world. And you've got to have like a, you know, Bezos and Gates versus Mercer thing going on. Because what the Mercers are doing with the news stations that are all fake and everything, there's Breitbart, there's Fox News, there's the one that's buying all the news stations everywhere. It's also a Mercer-owned group, I believe. It's not a Clear Channel. Clear Channel filed for bankruptcy. I don't know. There's a mess. I'll go into it on another podcast. But the point is Rachel Maddow's breaking bad news. She's doing a better job than I ever could. And if you want to really know what's going on and what you should be paying attention to, I highly recommend watching or listening, in my case, to her show. It's been a Ken Braverman podcast. We are all going to get slapped with porn this weekend and for a little while. And I don't think that will be the thing that ends up taking down Trump finally. It will be the fact that he is a party to the conspiracy to defraud the United States and obstruction of justice on that front that will take him down. However, it's intriguing because this is the one that he cares most about, ironically enough, because his priorities are so warped. Because think about it. I mean, if you're still married and you've got children and all this stuff, and you're the president, you can't have on the news every day the affair that actually happened being broadcast by all the women that you paid hundreds of thousands of dollars not to talk about. That's a no-no. And it's going to drive him nuts, and he's not... I mean, what do you think's going to happen? He going to go crazy. And we are left here to pick up the pieces. So Ken Braverman's out.